be a unique and interesting message this morning. As I was printing out my message, my black ink failed, so I had to print it out in blue. So just because it's blue doesn't mean it's going to be a blue message, okay? I want to endeavor to preach to you today that we are in the days of Elijah. I asked Sister Diane to sing that song. Perhaps most of us don't really know what that means. We just like to sing the song, and it's a good one. Agree with me. It's a good one. Amen. But we are in the days of Elijah, and it's a very critical time that we're in. But yet it's the greatest time we've ever been in our lives, because we are on the brink of being raptured out, something that's never happened before. Brother Aaron, we're fixing to get raptured out of this place. I'll tell you what, I'm going to make a hole in the ozone layer like you ain't ever seen before, because I'm fixing to leave this world. I'm excited about what God is doing among us. I told you a couple weeks ago, maybe last week, we're not going to have church as usual no more. God's doing great things. He's shaking things up. He's stirring things. He's getting people ready. He's going to use people. And we are living in the days of Elijah. And I'm going to endeavor to explain to you what that means and what it means to us and where we are today. So if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn with me to the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. I want to begin reading at verse 17 is our text this morning. excuse me. I may have to hack just a little bit, but you forgive me. But I'll try my best to keep it together and give you the word. 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning at verse 17. And it says, "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, and Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubles Israel?" So I could title this message, "The Days of the Lies." What are the days of Elijah? Or I could also entitle it, "What's the trouble here? What's the trouble here?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel," this is Elijah, "and thy father's house, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Baal. Now therefore, send and gather me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the grove 400. Those prophets of the grove, those 400, that's Jezebel's guys. That's the ones that ministered to her and done whatever she wanted them to do. Ministered to her from the groves, the Baal groves, the places that they worshipped, which ate at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together into Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word." Very, very critical statement you need to listen to carefully. There was a decision that had to be made, and they did not answer a word. Verse 22. "Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord." That wasn't completely necessarily true, even though Elijah probably felt like he was the only prophet, because one of the men that was in Ahab's court that was faithful and true to God and faithful and true to Elijah had just hid 100 prophets in caves, 50 in each group. He'd already hid them. But many times in our lives and our situation, when we're faced with circumstances that are kind of contrary to what we believe, but we don't know really whether we want to say anything or do anything or get involved, we sometimes feel like we're all alone and nobody cares, nobody understands, nobody believes like we do anymore. So we're struggling with the circumstances and the fact, what in the world am I going to do? I want you to know that we are in the days of Elijah. We are in the days of Elijah. Again, I'll try to explain it to you. If Ahab and Jezebel and their son Jerome represented darkness in the days of apostasy in which they lived in, listen to me closely, they represented the days of darkness, the days of apostasy that they lived in. Elijah and Elisha represented the lights of righteousness. So how do those things compare with where we are today? We certainly can compare that apostasy where Elijah was living in with where we are today. It is very present. The apostasy of our society, the apostasy of our world, the apostasy of our United States is very apparent where we are living in 2019. So some of you are asking and questioning in your mind, so actually what is apostasy? I'm so glad you ask. Apostasy is defined as an abandonment or a renunciation of a religious or a political belief. It's like the Republicans going to Democrats and the Democrats going to Republicans and the Republicans and the Democrats going to the socialist movement and all this kind of stuff. They don't know where they're at or what they believe. But apostasy is a denouncement or an abandonment. So what does that mean for the Christian world? What does that mean to you and I? Christianity, apostasy means in Christianity that it is a rejection of Christianity. Now that's not within itself. We might think, well, that may be somebody that really don't know all there is to know about it. But the real definition of apostasy in a Christianity is a rejection of Christianity from what they formerly had believed. They have walked away from what they believe. They've walked away from where they stood. They've walked away from their conviction. They have tried their best to walk away with what mom and daddy and what the church has taught. They've walked away willingly. The definition's willingly. They have walked away. The term apostasy in the literal Greek, and I would give you the Greek word, I couldn't say it, and you couldn't understand it if I tried to say it. But it literally means, you ready for this? Apostasy in the Greek literally means a defection. Wow. That's exactly where they were in Elijah's day, with Ahab and Jezebel and Joram in control of Israel. It's exactly where they were. They was in a position and they was in a place of defection. That definition in the Greek literally determines defection or departure. That's not all of it. It also reveals a place of revolt and rebellion. It has been described as a willingness of falling away from, a rebellion against Christianity. Can I tell you, before Ahab and Jezebel came upon the scene, the biblical faith was much like the nation's culture under King David. Pretty much everybody was in the faith of this culture. There was a culture movement of religion, but it wasn't just religion. They believed in something. They believed in the God Almighty. And it was under King David that the whole world pretty much was under that. It does not mean that people don't get out of that. There's an individual here, individual there that might do a wild-haired thing and might get rebellious. But overall, under King David, it was a culture of religious, I can't say Christianity because Christ hadn't come, but it was a faithfulness to God Almighty. During King David's reign, the worldview was based on biblical, you ready for this? Morality. And it represented pretty much the whole world. It was the world's code of ethics. I'm not here to preach to you or to get you discouraged. I'm here to encourage you, because we are in the days of Elijah. And as I've already said, we are living in the greatest time that anybody has ever lived, because we're living on the virtue of the rapture of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about a time, church, when somebody is going to witness that somebody is going to be sucked right out of their clothes into a brand new heavenly body, into a praise of Almighty God. I'm here to tell you today, we're living in the days of Elijah, and we need to be God's people standing up with a voice. Glory to God. It's not a time to be discouraged. It's not a time to run and hide, but it's a time to lift up your voice. That's a song that Sister Diane was singing. Lift up your voice and sing. These are the days of Elijah. It was in David's time that the code of ethics of the world was morality and godliness. But as soon as David left the scene or shortly thereafter, there was a change that was taking place. And that change in the days of Elijah, the morals and the ethics of that day was turned upside down and inside out by a king and a queen that was determined to change the practices of biblical faith and standards. Hear me today. We are in the days of Elijah. We are here in a society and in a world. And I'm not quite there yet, but I just got to say it. To where our elected officials are doing everything they can to change the practices of our biblical faith and standards. The days in which biblical faith constituted the ruling practices and principles of civilization was not those of the days of Elijah, but the days of King David. In the days of David, faith was royal, it was supreme, but in the days of Elijah, faith become prophetic because there was such immorality with Ahab and Jezebel. There was such immorality that it had to be faith, and there had to be those that stood in the very midst of the possibility of them getting their head cut off or those being killed, because Jezebel was number one about killing those that stood anything for God. Ahab was a wuss and wouldn't stand up and take authority and let her do whatever she wanted to do. But it's time we had Elijah's come on the scene. What I'm trying to say to this morning, church, is when civilization, listen, when civilization is characterized by a queen and a king like Ahab and Jezebel, then we must realize that we have stepped into a new culture where God's people must take on the characteristics of Elijah himself. Am I preaching all right? I want you to understand, I want you to know that the characteristics of our nation and where we are today is devastating the morals and devastating the faith and practices of our church. And it's time the church of the living God quit trying to be wusses and take a stand for Almighty God and say, it doesn't matter if I face the guillotine. It doesn't matter if I face the sword. I'm going to stand for God. You know why? Because with God, we're on the winning side. If we take Ahab's side or we go into the ways of the civilization of immorality, we're going to lose regardless. But if we stand for God, regardless of what comes our way, we are on the winning side. And when that trumpet, it sounds, it don't matter if you're shackled or tied to a stake and fire is licking up around your feet. We're going to rise to meet him in the air with victorious. Oh, say church, I feel something this morning. You know why? Because we are in the days of Elijah. We are living in the greatest times we've ever lived. And God Almighty is looking for people that he can put his anointing on, that will speak the words of truth and will touch the hearts of those that are degenerate to the things of God. And God breathed life within them and raised them up. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. So when we realize that we have stepped into a culture that no longer has faith or believes in God, and we see that characteristics in our world in which we see today, there is nothing left to do for you and I to get on our hands and knees and cry out to God and take the characteristics of Elijah in our hearts and in our spirits and saying, this is what thus saith God, and this is what we stand upon. In the past, Judeo-Christian faith in many ways constituted the residing principles of Christian civilization. If you go to Washington, D.C., every turn you make has a scripture written on some emblem somewhere, something. In most instances, It has portrayed, and it still shows, that our country was based upon godly principles and faith in God. And yet those that reside in the halls of those buildings in Washington, D.C. is doing everything they can to discredit and put away anything that has to do with God. But I'm here to declare to you today, church, that it's still the living God that's still in control. I said it's still the living God that's still in control. I still trust Him. I still believe in Him. And I still know that He'll have the final word and He'll have the final say-so. I still know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the God that I serve is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is not a God of any other religion, because there is no other. There is no other name under heaven where men must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, glory be to God. I am so thankful that as a child I was raised in church to know what the blood of Jesus Christ represents. I'm so glad I know that the cross of Calvary is where the altar is, that I can run and I can embrace the altar of the cross, and I can know that my sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I am ready for the kingdom of God. Oh, glory. I'm getting ahead of myself. Christianity, what I was trying to say a while ago, Christianity in King David's time appeared as a part of the culture of the status quo. That's just the way it was. When I was a kid, that's the way it was. We went to school, we said a Pledge of Allegiance, and we had prayer before we started class. That's just the way it was. That was the status quo. That's what we accepted. That's what we believed, because It was more than just because that's what grandma and grandpa said or mom and dad said. It's because even as a child, we felt it in our hearts. There was something there. I was around 5 years old when I got saved. And I can take you to the place where I got saved and baptized with the Holy Ghost. And around five, you say, well, you're too young. Well, tell God that, okay? But I'm just come to tell you, I'm like that little boy in Sunday school class. My only regret, Brother Ronnie, is I didn't start earlier. I love Jesus. I don't have to do what I do. I do it because I love Him. I do it because I love His people. I do it and I preach the truth of God's Word because I don't want one of you to go to hell. I preach this message today because God's laid it on my heart. Because we are living in a civilization of Ahab and Jezebel. And there has to be some Elijahs that steps up on the scene and say, I'm sick and tired of our kids being engulfed and going to hell. And seemingly nobody cares. But I lift the torch of God's Word to tell you that Jesus Christ is still real and alive. So during David's time, it was the status quo. But with the apostasy of the Western civilization, and it's just slowly crept in. Slowly crept in. Apostasy. Remember what I told you apostasy was? It's a rejection. In rebellion, slipping away. See, when we do things that we know we should not do, it's not just because. Hello? We're in rebellion. And the Bible says rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Okay? And I don't want to have nothing to do with witchcraft. I don't want to have nothing to do with rebellion. We have allowed things to come our way simply because, well, I don't see it like somebody else seen it. I don't see it like grandma and grandpa seen it. Don't seem like mom and dad seen it. Don't seem like the old timers seen it. It's time that you just see Jesus to who Him is, who He is. I guarantee if you get a real glimpse of what Jesus did for you on Calvary, you'd fall on your knees and begin to bawl and squall and cry out to God and say, Jesus, I love You. Whatever You need to do to me, turn me inside out, skin me, put a brand new set of spiritual clothes on me and skin on me like You did Ezekiel's people in the valley of dry bones. God, I just realize that something just come to me, that Your Son Jesus Christ paid the ultimate sacrifice, and I am so thankful. I was dead. I was
nothing. I was absolutely good for nothing. I should have died. I should have been crucified, but you did it for me, and I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. Miserable and wretched we are. But as miserable and wretched as we are, He sent His only begotten Son, and Jesus said, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. The apostasy of the Western civilization we now move into is the Ahab stage, and we're right smack dab in the middle of it. What is the Ahab stage? Ahab removed God, Jehovah, Yeshua, out of Israel. Jezebel, Ahab was an Israelite. Jezebel was a heathen, absolute hussy. Didn't care about nothing or nobody but her own self. She was raised. Her daddy was a temple worshiper of Baal himself. He was an instructor, a priest in Baal. They sacrificed their babies to idols literally in the fire. They literally sacrificed their babies to idols. They turned that nation of Israel into Baal worship. They sacrificed. Israel was sacrificing their babies to a God that could not hear, could not smell, could not see, could not taste, could not hear, could not talk. And yet they turned a nation because they turned a cultural inside out simply because of their own motives and their own desires. We're living in that kind of environment, and the apostasy of Ahab is right smack dab in the middle of where you and I are at today. There is a place in California that they are still enacting the worship of Moloch, which is a form of Baal, and they go through the rituals today. They go through the rituals of sacrificing babies in the fire, in so much that they have tape recordings of babies screaming and hollering and crying as they enact this sacrifice, if you please. And if truth be known, probably in senses there's actuality of that happening. Not only that, we're living in a society, we've killed more babies than we can count. No longer is it even under convenience, it's just because I want to. No longer if it's to a place that they are not sure. But the very last stages, they're willing to suck the brains out of the back of a baby's head and pull it out of the mother's womb and lay it for material gain and for gain of the body parts. I'm telling you that we are living in the spirit, in the age, in the civilization of Ahab. We are living in a civilization. Do you understand or realize that under Jezebel and under Ahab, there was prostitutes, male and female prostitutes, that literally infiltrated the temples of Baal, and they was there for that particular purpose. Even in the house of Baal, the religious house of Baal, there was prostitutes, male and female prostitutes. Can I tell you, church, that we're living in the society, we're living in the culture of Ahab, we're killing babies hand over fist, we have homosexuality, men and women alike, that's so brazen and do not care whether they try to rub it in your face. I'm here to tell you, I love their soul, but the Bible says that it's an abomination unto God, and they're damned for a devil's hell unless they repent and come to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can somebody say amen? We are living in the civilization of Ahab. And I could go on and on and on and on and on and on. We are living in the civilization of Ahab, and we are living. The good news is we're living in the days of Elijah. You know what that means? It means that there's a God in heaven above.
that's going to find people that will not bend, will not bow, and will not burn. And God's going to put His anointing upon them, and they're going to speak the words of truth. And they're going to let the devil know that he has no place around God's people and in this country. This is God's country. This is God's place. I'm just telling you, church, if we do not stand to our feet and realize that God is our authority, if we do not take a stand for God, this country is going to hell in a handbasket. And we're sitting idly by, and we will give an account. But I'm here to tell you that God is saying there's some Elijahs that I've got my finger and my hand upon them, and I will pour out in the last days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I'm here to tell you today, church, the God that I serve is ready to give you an anointing of Elijah in the hour that we're living in. And it came to pass. Somebody say, it came to pass. When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Are you the troublemaker here?" Ahab accused Elijah. Listen to this. Ahab accused Elijah of being the one who was causing the trouble. Elijah was simply remaining faithful to God's ways. It was a nation under the leadership of Ahab that had changed. Simply holding the truth to that which was one time a conviction the entire nation held, and all of a sudden it was considered radical. This is what we've stood on. This is what has been spoken. And now we're radical. Now we're the ones that has to be eliminated. Simply because we're the ones that are standing upon what our forefathers. Not only that, on what God said. I want you to know that you come too late to tell me God's not real. You come too late to tell me the Holy Ghost isn't real. You come too late to tell me that God's Spirit doesn't speak to our hearts and lives today. I can still remember those times as just a kid, vivid. There's a lot of my childhood I can't remember. Probably a good thing. But there is some things that I can remember as a little boy. When a preacher called to come to the altar and pray, my daddy would take me by the hand. He didn't jerk me at the altar. He led me to the altar. My daddy was a big, lanky guy, long-legged, and I'd get under. He'd kneel down at the steps of the altar. And Mikey would be right underneath his legs and right underneath his chest, hearing Daddy pray and talk to God. I'm here to tell you, little church, although I'm appreciative of what my daddy taught me and what he gave me, I one day found the fountain of living water myself. There was one day that I experienced the love of God that passes all understanding. There was a day when I realized that Jesus Christ was my King. He was my Lord and I could trust in Him. There was a day when I found out that it wasn't just the grandma and grandpa's religion, but it was my salvation and the love that God had for me. Oh, glory to God. Somebody don't shout in this place, I'm going to shout for you. And I can already tell there ain't no way. I was going to do my best. Brother Hewitt, I was going to do my best to finish this message this morning. And I got 5 pages and I'm only on number 2. I'll try to finish this up. What is the world doing today? You're the problem. Jews and Christians are the problem. We're the ones. It's exactly what Ahab told Elijah. You're the problem. No, we're not the problem. You're the problem. Because you have desecrated the morals and the convictions that God has laid a foundation with. You're the problem. From the governor of New York to the governor of California and everywhere in between, when you so blatantly applaud the death of an unborn for your social gain. That lady in Georgia, I believe it was, I stand to be corrected, that was running for governor and she barely lost. I heard her with my own ears make a statement that it's absolutely terrible because we do not have abortion on demand for the most part. What was she was saying? Because it messes up with the financial part of it. I paraphrase, but that's what she was saying. God help us today. It's a wonder God hadn't already sent a meteor to the United States. God's mercy and grace. You want me to tell you why he hadn't? It's because there's still people like you that's praying, God, we want more of you. We want more of you. Elijah was simply telling and giving the truth. Listen, I'm gonna close right here. Chris, go ahead and come to the piano. Listen to me, church. Listen to me. In the days when our nation become radical immoral, that's when the moral appeared to be radical. Do you hear me? The days when our nation become radical immoral, it's when the people of God that stayed moral and stayed their convictions became radical. That's why you're not liked. There is a bill up right now that's coming against churches of faith, synagogues, simply because they're doing their best to try to destroy your faith. We need some men and women of Elijah's. A civilization that seemed evil as good now, and now good seems evil. We see it all around us. We're living in a civilization that now sees evil as good and good as evil. Knowing that in times past, those who had been looking up to the heroes and role models of our world and our society that lifted up God now sees them as enemies of the state. Prime example. You sports fans will know exactly what I'm talking about. Mr. Tim Tebow took a stand for God and they ostracized him, demoralized him. But I'm so thankful for his stand that regardless, God is still giving him favor. But it's a prime example that what was good is now evil, and what is evil is now good. We need some Elijahs. Will you come back tonight and let me finish this message? I got a couple anyway. That's good enough. If two of you will come back, I'll preach it. Okay, that's good enough for me, but I hope the rest of you will. But listen, I am closing. Those who refuse to go along with the culture's apostasy, those who remain faithful to God's way, you will be labeled as radical, troublemakers, dangerous, and even enemies of the state. And the very existence will bear witness to what the culture has once upheld, has once now been forsaken. In other words, your faith in God, what you believe, what you stand for, is a total standing up for the testimony unto an ungodly, immoral country and nation that once once held the faith. Once held the faith. Did I say I was closing? Their very existence will bear witness of a culture that we once upheld, that which we have forsaken. You remember when Hillary Clinton, sorry, I hate to even mention that name, pronounced her candidacy to run as president? She made the proclamation that the deep-seated religious beliefs would have to be changed. You remember that? You also remember that in June of 2006, Obama made a speech where he said that no longer we was just a Christian nation, though his statement has tried to be watered down where it doesn't sound so negative against Christianity. It's not hard to see through the muddy water to see the intent of destroying America's Christian faith. We need some Elijahs. Would you stand with me this morning? We need some Elijahs. There's some young people here today that need to get serious with God. God is looking for some young people that He'll put His anointing on them. Mom and daddies, grandmas and grandpas, pray. Listen, young people, young married, the old guys like me, if the Lord tarries much longer, we're going to go by the way of the grave, and we need some Elijahs that will rise up. We'll need some Elishas that will pick up the mantle, say, I don't care what the world says and how the civilization's going, I'm going to stand for God. Let me reemphasize one more time. In this society of apostasy, leaving the faith, you know what it is. You've felt the presence of God. You've experienced the goodness of God, but because of your own rebellious ways, you've decided, I'll do it my way. God is looking for people, young and old alike, but especially this next generation. He said, God, whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to be, God's looking for that individual that He'll put His hand upon them and impart the Elijah anointing that they might be a spokesman in a dark world that so desperately needs to see the light. Heavenly Father, I come to you right now this morning, Lord. I pray, oh God, that your word, Lord, will permeate our hearts, our minds, our lives. Help us, oh God, that we might see the blessings of God that has been bestowed upon us, that we're so recklessly laying it aside. God, let the anointing of the Holy Ghost fall. I pray, oh God, that you'll speak to some young people this morning. God, put inside of them the touch of the Holy Spirit, oh God. Lord, that they will come to rise to a position, Lord, that they will accept the Elijah anointing, oh God, in their school, in their place of work. Could we lift our hands and sing this song with Chris? God, would you send the fire? God, would you send the rain? God, would you send the anointing of the Holy Ghost?
Oh, I'm tired of just the same old thing of tradition. Wearing out your name. I'm tired of a man-made worship hour. I'm tired. I'm tired of a song without praise, where worshiping you is out of place. I'm tired of religious formality. I'm tired. Souls in the rain. Lord, we're ready to walk through that door. We're ready, oh Lord, let it pour. We're ready. We're ready, Lord, enough is enough. We're ready to drink from your cup. We're ready, oh Lord, fill us up. We're ready. So send the rain.
Establish the decision we need to make. We're going to follow God. Father God, bless your people. Touch them. Let your Holy Spirit reside in their hearts and rest upon them. We thank you, oh God, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, choir practice 5 o'clock. See you at 6.